May we yet continue around God's word for yet another moment. I'd like to turn also to the book of John. And I'd like to read beginning with verse 36 in the 13th chapter. And I'd like to read into the 14th chapter. And knowing that at this time of our text that this is just shortly, this is the day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, and this is one of Jesus' last sermons that he gave unto his disciples before he was betrayed by Judas and before he went into Gethsemane and went that way of sorrow. And I think it's important that we even consider these matters, that how important it was that Jesus wanted them to understand that who he was and why he came and what he was to do. If we would look earlier in the 13th chapter, that's not part of our text, but if we just briefly looked, it would see there when Jesus tries to tell them that he must go and why. Though they didn't understand at the time, yet the Lord, it came to their remembrance after all these things that Jesus had done and that he had taught them. But we'll begin reading then in verse 36 in words that are as follows: in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Amen. As I've already made mention, that Jesus is addressing one of his last sermons before his crucifixion. And we see with our first verse that Peter upon listening to what Jesus had told them, when he told them that I will go away, and that they cannot, you cannot come with me now, Peter says unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answers, telling him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And here Jesus is even prophesying of what death, type of death Peter would occur unto him. For we know that history even tells us that Peter also died by being crucified. But we know that the difference was that he had been asked that he would be crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy to die in the same manner of his Lord and of his Savior. But when Peter asked him, that Lord, where are you going? He didn't understand what Jesus had told him, because Peter says unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And it's with great zeal, I'm sure, that Peter said these words. And he truly felt that he would never, he loved this Jesus. He loved this, and he believed he was his Lord. And he believed him to be the ruler and the king of Israel. And he indeed had such a great love for him that he tells him, I will lay down my life for thy sake. And isn't that the way it can be even for each one of us at times? That when we consider or we look at where we are, and maybe we feel strong at certain times, and we may even boast and make promises that I would never do this or I would never do that. And we can say it so boldly and straightforward, not realizing that by the grace of God, we will fail. As Jesus even tells Peter here, Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. You know, Jesus knew. He knew from the very beginning. Jesus knew before the foundations of the world were laid. For as we've already even heard, he was there present with God in the beginning. And it was by and through him were all things made and were created. And he knew this day that would come so long before it happened. And he also seen back then, even this day, this very evening, the Lord who knows all and sees all. He doesn't just look upon us and upon our appearance, but the Lord, he looks and he sees into our hearts. And he knew back then, even when he talked to Peter, he also knew how each one of us would be who are here tonight, you and myself. He knew what trials we would have. He knew what struggles we would encounter in life. But he tells, when he told Peter that you will deny me thrice, he also has a message for each one of us. He knows that we will fail him. For I have to say, even this evening, as faithful as my Lord has been to me, I have not always been so faithful to my Lord. And he knew Peter's heart, and he knew Peter's desire. But the Lord knew, Jesus has already said that without me, he can do nothing. And he told Peter, although Peter didn't realize, nor did he believe him at the time, I'm sure, no, but I will follow you until death, Lord. And I'm sure Peter believed in his heart that he would. But what happened when the trial came? And as we know, and I know we're all familiar with, when that time came for Peter to stand, to take a stand with his Lord and to follow him until death, what happened when he stood before his accusers there and they told him that you were also with him? I also seen you with Jesus. And what did Peter do? He denied it. He says, no, I don't know this man. In fact, when he got accused again, he became so angry that it says he cursed and he says, no, I do not know him. And here we know, and it tells us, if we would look into the Word, that he looked and he saw Jesus look upon him. And you can just imagine the hurt in his heart when he seen the eyes of his Lord appear upon him. And also the hurt in our Lord and Savior when he even looks upon us and he sees the denials or the unfaithfulness we have towards him. And this is true for each and every one of us. We've all failed and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. I'm sure we all agree with this tonight. But let's continue then with our text. And you know what the next word Jesus says here? He says that let not your heart be troubled. You know, I find it amazing, the love of the Heavenly Father. He tells Peter that you will deny me before the cock crows. But he also tells him that, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Why does he say this? Why would he tell Peter that do not let your heart be troubled? And to all them he is talking to, Jesus says that ye believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus knew that Peter would fail him, and he knows all of our own weaknesses and our failures and our sins. We can hide nothing from God. Nothing that we're quite good at hiding things from men. And we're quite good at maybe appearing just right and trying to do that which is acceptable in our society and in our circles. But how about before a heavenly Father and a righteous God who knows all and sees all? Jesus knows that without him we will fail. He knows what flesh is. In fact, our Lord and Savior, he himself, who was true God, he also became true man. And he also was tempted in likeness as we are. But yet we know, though he was tempted, yet he failed not. He was without sin. He was perfect. And here he tells him, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Ye believe in God, and truly they did. They were very familiar with the teachings, even of the scribes and of the Pharisees, these men who were religious men, and they believed God. And now they followed him whom they believed to be the Messiah at this time, though they still didn't understand to what this really meant. But Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. This is why he told them, let not your heart be troubled. Because he's promised them that I will go and prepare a place for you. Not only is he talking about that heavenly home that he has prepared for all those who love him, but he has prepared the way that we can be one day gathered with him there. Jesus is going to go and prepare the way so we can be home with him in heaven. He is going to prepare the way for you and for me because of how unfaithful we are and because of our weaknesses and our failures and shortcomings. But there was one, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who willingly went, and we even heard it mentioned last night, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He says he despised the shame for the joy that was set before him. Why? Because he knew that only through this supreme sacrifice that the Heavenly Father's wrath would be appeased. He would please the Heavenly Father through his perfect obedience, his perfect righteousness. And he was faithful until death. Even when he cried out that, my Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? He was faithful until death. We heard the brothers speak about that when God turned his back on his son. It was for this reason that we can tonight believe and take comfort in these words. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, I know there's people, I know there's hearts here who maybe are burdened or sorrowful. For whatever the reason, maybe there's some here with a burdened conscience. Jesus has opened the way. He says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Let not your heart be troubled. He's not saying don't worry about your sin. He's saying that there is a place of refuge. There is a place you can go. Take comfort in knowing that I have paid for your sin, all of them. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And this is the desire of God and of Jesus Christ. He also awaits that time when he can be joined together with us in heaven. He's joined with us here this evening in spirit. He dwells in each one of our hearts. And surely as we've even gathered in his name, as he has promised in his word, he says, there am I in their midst. But his desire is also, he also awaits that day when we will be gathered together, the bride and the bridegroom, be joined together in heaven forever and ever. That great reception, that festal board that will never end. This is what Jesus is speaking about. I will go and prepare a place for you that we can be together forever. The Father can be together with his creation whom he loves, his children whom he created and desired that one day would live forever with him. And we know, and we often hear it quoted, that it's God's will that none would perish and all would come to repentance. Well, this truly is God's will, that none of us would perish. He has such a love for each one of us that Jesus willingly laid down his life, as our text tells us. And he says then, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Jesus says, you will know the way. But they did not understand the words of our Lord here at this time. Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. These are very familiar words. This verse is often quoted and it's often said, and it's known by probably most of the world has heard that statement said. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And do we understand what Jesus, these words here, they sound plain enough. But do we understand when Jesus says that only through me can we come unto the Father? That means we are unable to come unto the Father by ourselves. Nor are we able to even assist in any way. For our own works, we know that the word clearly tells us, and again, another verse we often hear quoted, that our works are as filthy rags before God. But do we really believe that? Do we really believe that our own endeavors and our own desires to do that which would be pleasing to God, that is unacceptable unto Him without Jesus Christ? Or do we sometimes think, yeah, I know my works won't save me, but I should still try and I want to do good so God would be pleased with me. Let's always remember how important it is that we can only come unto the Father through the way, the truth, and the life, which is Jesus Christ. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Again, we see that how they do not understand what Jesus is telling them, or exactly even who Jesus is. The word tells us that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. This Jesus here who was about to die for them, this is God himself who became flesh and dwelt among us. This is that word that was in the beginning, by whom all things were created. He came to this life in the form of man. We remember, and it won't be long, we'll come into that Christmas season, when that little baby was laid in that manger there, whom the shepherds had come when they had seen their star, or the wise men had come from afar, because they follow the star that they had read about in the scriptures. And I find it even interesting when we consider that the angels who came even that night to speak unto those shepherds, what did they tell them? They told them that we bring you glad tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. This was the gospel already proclaimed there that night on that hillside when the shepherds heard that glorious gospel proclaimed. And that gospel means the good news or the glad tidings. And this is what those angels proclaimed to those shepherds that night. I bring you glad tidings of great joy. This is what Jesus wants to instill in their hearts. And this is the gospel we still desire to proclaim today. That behold, we speak of glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And he says that for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And it's still, which is Christ the Lord. And we can still proclaim this very gospel tonight. That we don't have to just point to the baby, but we also can point to him whom died on Calvary's cross and who on Easter morning victoriously arose. We thank God for this unspeakable gift, the apostle says, that words cannot say the glory and the beauty of what God has done for us when he sent that little babe to come to be the sacrificial lamb for us. And Jesus tries to tell them, have I been with you so long? Do you not understand? But Jesus also knows their hearts. And he knows that the time will come, as he tells them later, you will remember these things that I have told you. For when they come to understand, and when they receive that indwelling Spirit of God within their hearts, then they knew and they understood and they believed what Jesus had told them. It was just like those who were on the road to Emmaus then after Jesus had died. And they were walking along the way there, wondering what to do. Remember what they said to one another. One said that we thought him to be the one. In fact, they said it unto Jesus when he appeared in their midst. They said, we thought him to be the one to redeem Israel. They didn't realize at that time that their Savior came and walked in their midst with them. He was there with them, though they didn't know feel his presence at the time. But when he revealed himself unto them, it says how their hearts burned within him when he had opened up the scriptures unto them. And so also when even these men here who he was speaking to, and these words aren't just to them, but they're also for us. But when the Lord reveals himself, even these matters were opened unto them, though it came later. And this is how it is even for us. This revelation of Jesus Christ, he reveals himself unto us. We are unable to, with our own eyes, see him as he is. But when the Lord reveals himself, and he reveals himself to a heart that is prepared to receive him, and what heart is that? The word says that a broken and a contrite heart he will in no wise cast out. But this is the kind of heart that he will accept. That's why he so gladly told him these words, "Let not your heart be troubled," because he knew how Peter would feel when he looked on him, and when he knew he had denied him, and he looked upon the Lord and saw that look of love and compassion and of pity and of sorrow look upon him. He knew how Peter would feel, and he knew that broken heart that Peter would have, he would so gladly accept and take it in and claim it as his own. This is what the Lord wanted, was his heart. And this is, and as we, the word testifies, this is exactly what happened. Jesus continues and says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." If Jesus says, if you are unable to believe it, from the words that he's telling them, then for the very work's sake, he says, to believe this with all your heart. Look upon him whom all these things he has done. Remember when John sent his disciples unto him when he was in prison, John the Baptist? And he sent him there to ask him, art thou the one to redeem Israel? They wondered, is he truly the Messiah? And what did Jesus tell them? He told them to go and tell John. He says that to tell them that the lame walk, the blind can see, that the sick are made whole. He says, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Go and tell John this. Tell him that these works that I do are glorifying the heavenly Father. Tell John that by my works you can see that I truly am the Messiah. And Jesus is telling them, believe me for the very work's sake. Then he says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go on to my Father. And when we look at this, I wonder, how can this be? How can this be that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And we consider our own selves and our own natures, and we know that sin abides within us. But Jesus says that these great works you will also do, and even greater works than I have done. Jesus says, because I go unto my Father. And if we continue in our text, we see that he has promised us his Holy Spirit. And this is his reason he must go on to the Father, he said, so that the Comforter would come. And when God has given us his indwelling Spirit, these great works do we also do. How is this possible? By the Spirit of God that dwells in us. We can proclaim this glorious gospel to a sin-sick soul, and they can receive this life and salvation, which is Jesus Christ, into their heart. When that person, or in that heart that is broken, sees the love that was done for them, that all their sin that has been paid on Calvary's cross. And when they see that the love that their Lord has had for them, and how he defeated death, hell, and the power of the devil, when they hear this glorious gospel proclaimed by one of God's children, they also can receive this newness of life. This is that a life that God wants to give, and that they may have more abundantly, that Mike spoke of. This is that life that Jesus has come to give. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And this is how we can also say that God has allowed it to be so in us, that greater works than these shall he do, because Jesus went on to the Father, and he has given on to us the gift of his Spirit. And then he says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And what does the Word tell us? That how happy is the Lord does God give unto those who ask. And especially he says how happy he is to give his spirit unto those who ask. That's why Jesus says that ask and ye shall receive. He says seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. This is the command that Jesus has given. That seek for this eternal life. He says and ye shall live. When before God's word a man considers himself in his own wretched state, one who is yet in unbelief and sin, and he stand before the holy law of God's holy and righteous law, and acknowledge themselves completely undone. And now my just reward is to suffer eternally in hell. And in doing so, God would be more than just, for this is indeed what I deserve, nothing more than this, but to be cast out and separated, like the shaft that is burnt in a fire, so am I. But thanks be to God, that when his glorious gospel unto this broken and contrite heart is proclaimed, that to believe even all sins forgiven, in this word Jesus' name is shed blood, he who went and prepared the way, who gladly went and prepared the way for you, as he says, that where I am there ye may be also. Ye can be reconciled unto your heavenly Father through this glorious gospel of that redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Your sin debt has been paid for. That's why David so boldly proclaimed that blessed is the man whose sin is not imputed unto him. Blessed is that man. What a blessed state. Hard for this carnal mind to understand or comprehend. But that's why Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. I am able to save them to the uttermost. Paul speaks about Christ. He says he is able to save them to the uttermost. And it's amazing. We can look upon people in a judgmental way. Or I should speak for myself. I'm able to do that. And you almost think there's no hope for that one. But you know, God's word says differently. He is able to save them to the uttermost. For Jesus Christ has come into this world to save sinners. He came to call the lost and the unsaved. He didn't come here to just to make comfortable the righteous or those who think they are, but he came to bring grace unto the sinner, compassion unto the sinner, unto those who need comfort. He sent his comforter. That's why even in the Beatitudes, Jesus says that blessed are they who mourn, he says, for they shall be comforted. Comforted with this comfort that man is unable to even comprehend until they feel it, this comfort that comes from God of knowing that I am his child. Though I am a sinner, yet lost and condemned, yet God has taken me, as David says, out of the miry clay, and he has set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. So our Heavenly Father who establishes our goings, it ain't our own comprehend, trying to comprehend and understand in our mind his word, but the Lord by his Spirit, as our text will tell us here, that the Spirit of truth, Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And we know what, as a songwriter says, that, and what my Jesus promises he'll do. We can take great comfort in this word tonight, that Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come. Take great comfort in knowing this and this gospel proclaimed where we read, let not your heart be troubled. To anyone here tonight who is maybe struggling inwardly, take comfort in this gospel. Let not your heart be troubled. There is a place you can go. There is a fountain in Zion where the blood that flowed on Calvary's cross still continues to cleanse men from all unrighteousness and all sin. And take great comfort in knowing, as Jesus says, yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. He says, because I live, ye shall live also. You can take great comfort in this, dear listener. Because Jesus lives, we can live also. Because he lives, he can give us life and more abundantly. Because he victoriously arose there on Easter morning, proclaiming victory over death, hell, and the power of the devil. And he says then, as he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so shall we also walk in a newness of life. May God even add a revelation to his word, that even this word that we've read, that we could find a hope and a comfort in his gospel, knowing that there is a Lord and a God in heaven who loves you so much. He sent his only begotten Son to take all your sins out of the way. And remember that, this gospel which we've read, that do not let your heart be troubled, but rather go and be released from all sin, whatever that may be, whatever is burdening you, or if there's one who is not a child of God, know this evening, that this gospel belongs to you also. God, the Lord wants your heart. He wants a broken and contrite heart. He wants a heart that knows it's completely undone and of no good and is sin and deserves eternal damnation. This heart the Lord can take. He can take it and care for it and nurture it with his word, that one can be born again through this work of Jesus Christ, this great work of redemption. And even as our last verse says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. This is what the Lord desires for each one of us. May God add a blessing to this reading and speaking of his word. And we ask it in the name of his Son. Amen. Benediction. Shall we close in with a benediction? May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
There's coffee and refreshments served for everybody downstairs. Tonight, our service was a continual Sunday. At 10:30, there'll be no Sunday school. There'll be a meal at the church. Services continuing at 2 o'clock, another meal, and concluding then with services at 6 o'clock. Group 4 is serving dinner. We're asked to bring pot roast and apple crisp or pie for dessert. Group 5 will serve supper, and Group 1 will serve coffee after the last service. In closing tonight, we'll sing song 531.
Thank you. Hidden me like you talk.